the work takes off again. In March 1994, just before the war, there were 2,500 publishers in Rwanda. By May 1995, a new peak of 2,807 publishers was reached, despite the fact that so many had been killed in the genocide. Sincere ones flocked to Jehovah's organization. One special pioneer sister, for example, conducted more than 22 Bible studies, and she had others on her waiting list. A circuit overseer observed, "The war helped people to realize that reaching out for material things was useless." In January 1996, the brothers held the Joyful Praisers District Convention. What a joyful convention it was! Since the one the previous year had been canceled, it was the first convention held after the war. One observer said, "There was hugging along with tears, and it was particularly impressive to see Hutu and Tutsi brothers and sisters embracing each other." The peak attendance was 4,424, and 285 were baptized. Brother Reschke reminisces, "It was moving to hear the candidates loudly reply, 'Yego,' or 'Yes,' to the two baptismal questions. They lined up on the playing field, waiting to be baptized, and were drenched by a heavy thunderstorm. They didn't mind that. Their attitude was, 'We are going to get wet anyway.'" Henk von Bussel returned to Rwanda, and Gunter Reschke, who had come to help get the work restarted, was now assigned there permanently. Not long afterward, Godfrey and Jenny Bint also returned to Rwanda. The following is from pages 235 and 236 of the printed edition. Jehovah has done wonderful, great things. Gunter Reschke, born 1937, baptized 1953. Profile: started pioneering in 1958 and attended the 43rd class of Gilead. Since 1967, he has served in Gabon, Central African Republic, and Kenya, and has visited several other countries in the traveling work. At present, he is on the Rwanda Branch Committee.
My first visit to Rwanda was in 1980. I was sent from Kenya as a district overseer. At that time, there were only 7 congregations in the country and 127 publishers. I was also one of the 2 instructors of the first class of the Pioneer Service School held in the country. Many of the 22 pioneers in the class are still in full-time service. I returned to Kenya with fond memories of the zeal of the brothers in the ministry and their appreciation for the truth. In 1996, I got a letter from the Kenya branch inviting me to move to Rwanda. I had been in Kenya for 18 years, and I loved it there. When we arrived in Rwanda, it was still unstable. During the night, we often heard shooting. But soon I started enjoying my assignment, especially when I witnessed Jehovah's blessing on the work there. The assembly sites were rudimentary. However, without complaint, the brothers often sat on the ground or on stones. The baptism pools consisted of a big hole in the ground, lined with tent material. Assemblies like that are still held in many places in the interior. But as time passed, some simple open-sided halls were constructed, as well as a few expandable kingdom halls. The brothers were zealous in proclaiming the good news. The congregations in Kigali started their meetings very early on the weekends. Afterward, publishers went into the field ministry and continued until dark. I always made time for the young ones in the congregations, the future publishers who could later take on more responsibilities. How good to see that many fearlessly took their stand, proving that, though young in years, they had a personal relationship with Jehovah. For example, in the South, 11-year-old Luke was asked to sing the national anthem in his school classroom. He respectfully asked if he could sing one of our kingdom songs instead. The teacher agreed, and all applauded when Luke finished the song. The fact that he knew not only the melody but also the words of the song shows how much this youth enjoyed praising his Creator. This experience and others were encouraging to me. I also met a sister who had been in prison some years back for preaching the good news. While in prison, she gave birth to a son and named him Shikama Hodari, Swahili for remain steadfast. Shikama has lived up to his name. He recently attended the Bible school for single brothers and serves as a ministerial servant and special pioneer. During the many years when our brothers in Rwanda experienced extreme difficulties, including bans, civil war, and genocide, I was always touched by their zeal in the ministry and their faithfulness, and it is a great privilege to serve with them. I also always felt Jehovah's blessing, as well as His protection and support, and it made me draw closer to Him. Truly, Jehovah has done wonderful, great things. Returning to the account.
Their son was lost and was found. In the years after the war, families who had been separated were reunited. In 1994, for example, when the fighting between the two armies intensified in Kigali, the population fled en masse, and in the ensuing panic, Oresta Murinda got separated from his wife and fled with his 2.5-year-old son to Gitarama. When Oreste went out to find food, fighting broke out again, and in the confusion, he was separated from his son. After the war, Oreste and his wife were reunited, but their son was still missing. They concluded that he had been killed. However, more than 2 years later, a man from the countryside who was not a witness came to Kigali to work. He met some brothers and happened to mention that his neighbor's family in Gisenyi had lost their children in the war, but were looking after an orphan. This child remembered his father's name and said that his parents were Jehovah's Witnesses. The brothers recognized the name and contacted the parents, who then showed photographs of their son to the man. Yes, it was their son. Oreste immediately went to retrieve him, and the parents were reunited with their son after 2.5 years. The boy is now a baptized publisher. It is noteworthy that the brothers cared for all the children who survived the death of their witness parents. None were put into orphanages. Sometimes, brothers also cared for the orphan children of their neighbors or of other family members. One couple, who had 10 children of their own, took in and cared for 10 orphans. Insecurity returns to the North. By the end of 1996, civil war in Congo made it increasingly difficult to maintain security in the refugee camps where over 1 million Rwandan refugees remained. In November, the refugees were forced either to return to Rwanda or to flee further into the rainforests of Congo. Most returned, including the remaining brothers who had not done so in December 1994. It was an unforgettable sight to see streams of people, old and young, walking through the streets of Kigali, enclosed dusty with the African soil, carrying bundles on their heads. All those refugees had to return to their native hill or community to be re-registered. Security became very tight for some time. Unfortunately, many undesirable elements returned with the refugees, including some of the Interahamwe militiamen who tried to continue their activities in the northwest of the country. In response, the army was sent there to restore security. Many of our brothers lived in the area, and it was a great challenge for them to keep their neutrality. More than 100 publishers lost their lives between 1997 and 1998, in most cases because of loyally maintaining their Christian neutrality. At times, the area was too dangerous for the circuit overseers to visit on a regular basis. A courageous couple. Theobald Munyampundu, with his wife Bayron Seal, was one of the few circuit overseers who managed to visit the congregations in the region of insecurity. Danger was not new to them. Theobald was baptized in 1984, and 2 years later, he was one of the many brothers and sisters put into prison, where he was severely beaten. He and his wife had also risked their lives hiding others during the genocide of the Tutsi. After saving the life of one teenage boy whose mother was killed in the genocide, they managed to cross over into Tanzania. There, Theobald visited the two refugee camps at Banako and Karagwe to encourage the brothers though travel between the camps was extremely hazardous because of bandits. When they were back in Rwanda, Theobald and his wife risked their lives once again to visit witnesses in the troubled northwest region of the country. "Sometimes the congregations we visited were distant," said Theobald. "Because of the insecurity, we could not stay overnight. I remember that during one visit, daily, we had to walk 4 hours each way during the downpours of the rainy season to visit the brothers and then return to our accommodations in the evening." Theobald described one brother whom he met while visiting an isolated group in the area. "Jean-Pierre is blind, but I was amazed to see him get up for the Bible reading in the Theocratic Ministry School and recite the assigned portion from memory, without mistakes, even with the correct punctuation. He had asked a brother who was a good reader to read to him beforehand so that he could commit the material to memory. I was really encouraged by his determination." Reflecting on his full and sometimes dangerous life, Theobald says, "During all those difficult times, we put our trust in Jehovah and often thought of the words of Hebrews 13:6, Jehovah is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" After serving faithfully in the circuit and district work, he and his wife continued to serve as special pioneers despite health problems. Assembly Hall Project. As the number of witnesses increased, it became more and more difficult to find suitable venues for conventions in Kigali. For example, a drainage canal that spewed out sewage from a nearby prison marked the Messengers of Godly Peace District Convention that was held in a stadium in December 1996. Brothers complained of the smell, and parents feared for the health of their children. In view of the poor conditions, the country committee decided unanimously that this would be the last district convention they would ever hold in that stadium. But where else could conventions be held? The Ministry of Lands had allotted land to one of the Kigali congregations for the construction of a kingdom hall. The land was much larger than would be needed for a hall, and if the brothers submitted plans for a kingdom hall only, the ministry would likely cut off a portion of the plot and allocate it to someone else. So, with trust in Jehovah, they submitted plans for a kingdom hall and a simple assembly hall, with the option of building a second kingdom hall later. The local authorities approved the plans. The brothers leveled the land and fenced it in. Hundreds of volunteers cleared the undergrowth and dug deep latrines. They now had a beautiful piece of land with a gentle slope, an ideal assembly location. In the following months, the brothers held two assemblies and a special meeting on the property, but strong winds and rain forced those attending to huddle under tarpaulins and umbrellas. Consequently, a recommendation was made to the governing body that a simple, open-sided assembly hall be constructed. In March 1998, the governing body gave permission to build the assembly hall. Preliminary work started quickly. Throughout the construction period, entire families worked together digging the holes for the foundations of the supports. All worked side by side in unity. On March 6, 1999, Jean-Jules Guillou from the Switzerland branch gave the dedication talk for this fine new facility. By 1999, security returned to the whole country. In February of that year, a new missionary couple, Ralph and Jennifer Jones, were assigned to work in the Rwanda country office, and the Bethel family grew to 21. Two Rwandan brothers had graduated from the ministerial training school, now called the Bible School for Single Brothers, in Kinshasa, Congo, about 1,000 miles away. However, now that there was war in Congo, it became increasingly difficult for Rwandans to travel to Kinshasa. In view of this, the governing body approved of holding the ministerial training school in Kigali. The first class of 28 students from Burundi, Congo, and Rwanda graduated in December 2000. In May 2000, Rwanda became a branch, and soon after that, the brothers found a suitable plot on which to build a branch office to take care of their rapidly expanding work. They purchased the 5-acre plot of land in April 2001. Many brothers in Kigali will remember what a tough job it was to clear the undergrowth on that land, which had been abandoned for years.